Welcome into another Locked On Bills June 1st edition. I'm your host, Kevin Masseri, here with Jason Shannon. We're actually going to talk about OTAs of week two wrapping up here. Some good content finally for us to discuss and kind of go through, as well as maybe some cap news as we've released Eric Wood, and maybe discuss a couple of other trailing topics around the national media. Jason, how you doing today?
I'm doing great, Kevin. Excited that it's summer, excited that we are getting into and now currently into football-related activities. The clock is ticking right now. We're three months away from football.
Sure is. I think I've already kind of gone back and forth, but I actually think May's the worst for football news. So
May's like the 2 months or the 2 weeks after a week after the draft. I would say like mid-May is the absolute worst.
It's the data. It's the worst. It starts to pick up right about now and getting us into some really good conversation around OTAs. Both coordinators spoke, liked a lot about what Dable had to say about really not having a specific thing he wants to run. It's going to be game plan specific, which is the first time I've heard a coordinator say that here in many coordinators. Any initial thoughts about that?
Yeah, I mean, it's good to hear. We'll see if that gets implemented, whether he's going to be flexible or have a rigid system. But that's really what all offensive coordinators should be doing. They're not the ones picking up players. You know, GMs don't really, focus their offense or, their offensive pickups and their draft picks around an offensive coordinator. They get switched so much that, if you come in as offensive coordinator, you got to use what you got. So
sure.
It's good that at least that he said it, because I don't think that Dennison or Greg Roman really, they were very rigid about the system that they ran, and they had long sort of histories as far as the type of offense that they ran and didn't really stray from it too much.
Yeah, many actually have since in our day. A lot of the coordinators that we've had here are very similar to that. I've never really seen someone that will go game plan specific, but we'll stick with the offense here, and they did implement 2-minute this past week. And you saw Josh Allen, obviously, with the third-team offense, as much has been made from that. Going with the Tywan Joneses against Breon Borders and throwing to Phillips and Fosters and Rod Streeter's picking up where he left off in that second red zone drill there where he caught the ball in the back of the end zone, which looked like one of his feet were out, Jason. I don't know if you saw that gif or that tweet.
I wasn't really looking at the feet. I remember the catch.
I think he's out. Rod Streeter back to picking up where he left off on a really nice, I don't mind that kind of fade. If you can put that there, that's where that ball's got to be. But so many quarterbacks, at least in the Bills pass, have not been able to make that throw. So we'll see if that translates. Going down the stretch, Josh Allen's been pretty good. He threw that pick to Breon Borders in the first 2 minute drill and then came back with a nice drive, working with the likes of, like I said, Tywan Jones. So, what do you think about like 2 minute? Did you take anything away from that segment or anything that you saw from, some interesting wide receiver nuggets, anything you took away?
Yeah. I mean, you can't take away too much from this as far as sort of play goes. I mean, Josh Allen, I'm not sure I would feel encouraged or disappointed by anything he does at this point. He looks great in shorts. He's going to make some of those throws and he's going to throw some picks, and it's not just Josh Allen. It's really any quarterback that you're going to draft is going to occasionally throw that pick six to Breon Borders and is occasionally going to make a great throw to third string receivers. So, anytime that I see, Allen to Foster, Allen to Prohl, like I'm not going to take that much out of it at this point. I do think that one thing that's interesting, and we talk about it pretty much every week, is this receiver situation. And maybe we won't go too far into the free agents available because it's still the same guys. But I do think that it's very interesting the way that they've given out the reps as far as, Andre Holmes is kind of the expected guy to be on the outside with Zay Jones gone. But seeing a guy like Malachi Dupree get reps with the first team, seeing the amount of throws that guys, it might actually help guys like Prohl and Cam Phillips and Foster to be on the third team playing with Josh Allen. I just think it's an interesting situation where we might be seeing a really sort of a lot of fluctuation in terms of who can make this team at that position. What do you think?
Yeah, it's really interesting because I've seen some of the back end guys jump off the screen. Obviously Zay Jones not participating. Kelvin Benjamin clearly being your one. But outside of that, I mean, you've seen Austin Prohl with really build that rapport with Allen. You've seen Foster pretty much on every, I see him on every highlight and, or, you know, when I'm reading something, you see, you know, Cam Phillips everywhere, Malachi Dupree. There's a bunch of guys, and one or two of these guys are going to make your team. And man, I mean, they could be, depending on what they do with Andre Holmes, I mean, they could be as high as your third and fourth and fifth receivers here. So I do think there's something you can take out of it. And unfortunately, it's at that wide receiver position that we always talk about. But that is, I think, the biggest takeaway. These guys are jockeying for their depth chart positioning early on in camp, which can make you a team, for Malachi Dupree's case especially.
And I think, I mean, these guys, you know, aren't stupid. They see Andre Holmes playing second receiver right now for this team and saying that they got a shot to do something. And I think it makes for a really, really competitive sort of system, and it's going to make a lot of competition for camp. I don't necessarily think that it's going to make for a really good wide receiver core, but I do think that there's going to be a lot of movement for our best five. And at this point, like, I really honestly don't see a guy that can't make this team, or at least a squad position. And I don't see anybody besides Kelvin Benjamin and Steve Jones that can't get cut. I think that if guys play well enough, Jeremy Curley is going to be on the block. I know Andre Holmes is going to be on the block, even guys with special teams abilities. I think this is a very fluid situation and could lead to a very interesting and different sort of receiving core. Like, I remember going back to where we had some veterans and we had like a Chad Jackson in, and then we ended up starting the season with Stevie Johnson and
Donald Jones
and David Nelson, who were two undrafted guys or former undrafteds, starting as the second and third receivers. And yeah, that didn't go super well. Honestly, that receiving core was probably better than the healthy ones we had last 2 years. But, you know, I could see a situation like that this year. And, you know, we won't know until everything shakes out. Maybe we sign somebody. Maybe somebody gets cut and we sign them. But I think as it stands right now, like, who we get in our five or six is going to be, like, super interesting.
Yeah, it definitely is one of the interesting – you know, it's kind of like the blessing and a curse thing where it's going to lead for good camp stuff, but just like, it's just not a good unit. So we'll see if anything can come from that. I think what's really interesting to me is Dupree, because seventh round pick, probably more of a draft pick than both Ray McLeod and Austin Prohl. Didn't have a great offseason, hence him getting cut by Green Bay, a team that always can find a guy in the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh round that they really like. So him getting cut, I mean, over the Jeff Janises of the world, all those guys always move on, but they do take shots on talented receivers all the time. So it was really, I think that they were trying to maybe stash him on the practice squad, but, you know, he was promoted, you know, from the practice squad last year too. So interesting player. LSU, I think he's got a lot of talent. Once again, did not have a really good offseason, didn't do anything in the preseason. That's really where you expect those guys to kind of show out there in the third and fourth quarters. You know, the Rod Streeter, you know, per se. But I usually see those veteran guys like Rod Streeter and that Deontay Thompson's show out. It's not the young guys that are just coming fresh into the league that necessarily are going to go for a million yards every game, unless you're Brandon Riley, right?
Right.
Another good name that's kind of worked himself up from literally 12th in the depth chart last year, to, you know, probably as high as at some point 4 or 5, making the team and going, you know, fourth and fifth there at the end of the year, after pretty much sitting on the practice squad. So there's a lot of talented players, just more guys that I'd consider fifth and sixth guys at that receiver position. I just always have said, like, Zay Jones is a three, and, you know, you can rely on Curley as a 4-3 fill in. I'm just looking for a number two receiver, Jason. I think that that's always what I've been clamoring for. I don't mind the competition at the back end of the roster. It's fine.
It's like any other teams. I mean,
yeah,
our 5 and 6 spots, 4, 5, and 6 sure. spots, competition is, you know, as good as any other teams in the league. That's not to brag about, because it doesn't necessarily isn't that useful. But yeah, I mean, we needed to. I don't know if we're going to be able to find it. I think that maybe they prioritized it kind of low this year. You have to weigh out whether, like, okay, they must have thought that second corner and middle linebacker were more important than second receiver. That's just how it goes when you have the dead cap number that we have, when you have a team that doesn't make the playoffs for 18 years, when you have a team that turned over 45 players on their roster. Like, this is just part of the building process, and we're just flat out going to have some positions that suck. Like, yeah, it is what it is. And yeah, I mean, it stinks that it's receiver, and it's been receiver the last couple of years, and we got to do it with an inexperienced or rookie quarterback, so that doesn't help. But, you know, it was clear that that was lowest on their prioritization list because there were guys out there.
Yeah, it was – I mean, I hate to say it, but it was lowest by far. Like, it wasn't even considered to me at some point, and they were actually considering special teams ability and players over it. So, unfortunately, it's tough to say, but they just were not – they were not looking at that position at all, Jason. You know, kind of talking about the rest of the offense, really nothing to comment on running back. They don't – I think everything's fairly set there, McCoy, then Ivory, then Tywan Jones. You know, and obviously you're going to have like a Tywan versus Marcus Murphy, Treyarce Cadet, and Keith Ford battle. I think Tywan Jones comes away from that as the third running back. I really hope they don't keep a fourth out of this group, especially when they carry a fullback. But I think if Cadet beats out Tywan Jones, I don't really think that that's that interesting. It could happen, obviously, but I think Jones has got it and it's getting those reps third anyway. So I think it's pretty set unit. So getting into a little bit, I mean, tight end, obviously have Logan Thomas that's going to have that procedure and he's out. Kyrie, you know, good old Kyrie Lee, who's done nothing in this league. The Bills kept on as a fourth tight end last year. Average blocker, doesn't offer anything in the passing game. You know, it's kind of battling for his spot against Tobridge and Kroom, who I'd like to see beat him out. And then obviously Clay and O'Leary are there, and they have been in OTAs. O-line's interesting, though. I want to talk about that for a brief moment, Jason. You have your starters who are interesting. We'll use the word interesting. Obviously, yeah. Going Dawkins. Then you're going Vlad Dukas at left guard. You're going Bodine at center. John Miller at right guard and Jordan Mills.
Is that how they've been lining up?
That's how they've been lining up in OTAs.
Okay.
So those are your – I don't think you do that for no reason. I think those are your day one camp starters. Obviously, that changes. Miller's lost his job before. But it is interesting to see him get a shot and knock Roy. So – Line two is Marshall Newhouse, obviously a left tackle, Wyatt Teller and Ryan Groy. And then you got Connor McDermott and Adam Redmond, who it's not a bad second unit. We've had units like that start. I know you can remember some.
Sure. Yeah.
So that's kind of
early 2000s.
Yeah. That's kind of the 10 rotation there. I mean, what do you think of that starting lineup?
I mean, the starting lineup stinks. It's not very good. The depth there is good. You know, our linemen 5 through 9 are probably match up with anybody's in the league, but 1 through 4, we're about as bad as it gets. I mean, there's a real chance that we could struggle there. I think there's a chance that we could put it together. Dukas has another season that's pretty decent. Even Mills was okay last year. Bodine would have to play better than he's ever played in his life.
Mills is like their number two lineman. Like, he's like a lock solid right tackle. Like, yeah, Mills is like not even competing with him.
No, and honestly, like I think Newhouse could he could be a starting lineman in the league still as a right tackle potentially, but the interior of the line is, you know, Dukas and Bodine, who have reputations as not very good linemen, and then Miller, who lost his job to one of those guys last year. That's just not good. But, like, you know, after you go past that, Newhouse is a solid rotational lineman. McDermott's a guy with promise who I never really liked that much, but apparently they do. Groy obviously had a season where he played really well. Wyatt Teller is a guy that I really like that I think that we got as a steal. So I do think that maybe one of those guys, I think any of those guys really has a chance to maybe take over one of the weaker positions.
Yeah, I'd like to note on Newhouse just real briefly. He's been on the move over the first 6 days of OTAs. Newhouse lined up at both guard spots, both tackle positions. He wanted to have that. He requested to have that versatility. And the quote was, "I've asked to play some of those spots, and some days coach told me when I'm going to line up. So wherever I line up, they ask me to, and that's what I'm doing," he said. "It's just a matter of getting more and more comfortable, taking more and more reps and more sets after practice. All that adds up to training camp up this coming season."
Yeah, no, I mean, he's smart. He's a longtime veteran who knows he doesn't, you know, if he gets cut from this team, who knows what happens from here on out. I know I listened to him on a podcast say that he, you know, thinks he has 2 to 3 good years left. He's trying to play out the rest of his career. And, you know, be able to getting a starting job. He probably sees where our interior alignment is right now. You know, listening to talk, he's a very smart guy about these sort of things. And I think he realizes that, like, just like receivers and linebackers make teams based on special teams, like offensive linemen, backup offensive linemen make teams based on the amount of positions they can play. Like, that's, it's just the NFL right now.
Yeah, I agree. So that's interesting. He's probably playing himself onto an active roster spot, sixth lineman, meaning he can go in at any time, him and Groy. Both being paid fairly, you know, not crazy either. I'm not making crazy money, but, you know, even Newhouse is making 1.75 and Groy's making 2.5. Two very pretty high paid backup linemen, your sixth and seventh lineman right there, which is, like you said, it's good for the – speaks good for the depth. Once again, 4 through 8, like, I think is fine. But 1 through 3, I mean, you pretty much Dawkins is like pretty much like one, like, and that's his second year in the league. So,
yeah, I mean, there's nothing to say he can't have a bad season. Like, he had half of a bad season last year.
Right.
Who knows if he regresses? You hope that, you know, a guy's, you know, Madden rating chart keeps going up in an ascending manner, but life doesn't always go that way. It didn't go like that for John Miller. So,
and like I said, Mills is seriously might be their number two. So Dawkins one, Mills two.
I think he's the second best lineman on the team, and that's
it's ridiculous.
Probably the thing I'm worried about the most, and we have a first round quarterback.
Miller four and Bodine five. I mean, that's there you go. There you have it. Once again, good depth. You're going to have good competition there. And then eighth lineman, you have White, Teller. And then, you know, potentially, depending on who you're keeping, I think they like Connor McDermott is probably their final lineman and ninth player, probably inactive on game days. But once again, 4 through 9, it's fine. I think there's a lot of good experience and depth and potential to help you out in a pinch. But it's just that 1 through 4 that they need to correct. But I think you can go as far as saying you didn't anticipate two of your linemen retiring, right?
No, that definitely
couldn't anticipate that. But you could, I mean, they also didn't address it. They had time on both of those. Bodine, Newhouse, and Wyatt Teller was pretty much the addressing there. And once again, those are guys that we've just designated, you know, your 4 through 8 linemen.
Yeah, I mean, they had a chance to do it in the draft. And I had said it before the draft. I said they, you know, I thought that those offensive linemen signings they made,
and they got lucky
before the draft. Right, and they got lucky with Teller, and I think he was the guy you just had to take there. But I think that signing Bodine and Newhouse was their signal of saying, we got other positions, I think we could roll with an offensive line like this. And I don't think it's impossible for them to be good, but I do think the odds are stacked against them being an above-average
unit. A second-year left tackle will make the lead. John Miller coming back to form will help. Wyatt Teller actually being good will help a lot, pushing Dukas to a reserve role. Groy beating out Bodine could certainly help a lot. And Mills being, to them, rock solid. He is. I mean, whether you want to consider it or not, he finished 30th in PFF. He considered himself just a good right tackle, nothing more, nothing less. So, you know, I know he's played bad at times, but he does play well enough at times to earn himself that kind of rating. So, interesting offense, Jason. Briefly on the defense, get into it at just a brief moment here. Lots of good news from Shaq Lawson. You know, looks leaner, looks lighter. He was noted by his coach. So that's always a prominent sign when Leslie Frazier goes up there and mentions, you know, what they like about him. So it's the lightest he's ever played. He's 263. He's worked with other NFL defensive ends, which seems to help. I mean, it's like the Jerry Hughes progression thing. And Lawson's always shown talent. So we'll see if he can put this thing all together. Did want to note the defensive line. I think that's a biggest note I have for today of the starting units there. And like, I mean, you're looking at a defensive line that's pretty solid. I mean, you're starting Kyle Williams, obviously, and Starlu Tulele. And then you have Jerry Hughes, right? And then Trent Murphy. And then your backup is Shaq Lawson, Harrison Phillips, Adolphus Washington. I mean,
I think it's a good defensive line.
Right. It's like, obviously you could have maybe like a touch more top end talent. But isn't that as good as you can get, like 2 through 8?
Sure. Yeah. It's solid. Yeah. The one thing you would want is that one of those guys, and it's not impossible that it would happen, is you want a 14 Zach guy. Like, I don't think any of them are getting 14, but I mean, if we get 10 out of one of them, that's pretty huge. I think that's a really solid top, you know, I'd have to look around the league. I'm not Mike Clay, but I would say a top 12 defensive line, top 10.
I like that just in terms of. I think he put it pretty low. Like, I think it was, what, 18th or something? Anyway.
Yeah, I think we're better than that. And I think a lot of it's just, you know, a lot of people look at one pass rusher or one run stopper and see a whole defensive line. And the fact is that most of these D tackles in the league play 60% of the snaps. It's you need.
I mean, Robert Quinn can get 50 sacks a year. I mean, it doesn't make the Rams' defensive line very good. And now, I mean, obviously he's been traded since. That's exactly what I mean. So just because he's on it, there are plenty of Rams teams that were really bad with Robert Quinn. So it's interesting. I mean, look at Houston. Their defensive line's always good because they build depth and they lose J.J. Watt, and the line's still pretty decent.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they've also, I think, invested more first-round picks than any team in their defensive line.
And they continue to do so. So they can take an injury to their best player, like, and not end their season like other teams. Like, they continue to always have a solid defense post, you know, what seems to be J.J. Watt after being healthy, like, his entire career, then getting hurt, like, back-to-back years. But I just love that Eddie Yarbrough and Shaq Lawson backup defensive end rotation. I think that's about as good as it gets there as backups. And Harrison Phillips is another really good player that's going to be ready to fill in for Kyle Williams. And I don't mind Adolphus Washington as a fourth defensive tackle. It's about what he should be. And then I like Tony Palapoy as like your last guy on the roster. I thought he showed a lot in the Chargers helped them become a good defense last year. So
don't forget about Ricky Hatley.
I'm sleeping on Ricky Hatley, man. I'm sleeping on Ricky Hatley. Do like Marquavius Lewis though, as you know, we've said a couple times on the show, and Terrence Fidet from Miami is another guy that they found going to be a good unit. I think it's going to be a good unit all year. I think it can afford an injury. I think you might see a name get cut. I don't know. It's not going to be the defensive ends. So I don't know what that means. I guess I would only read Dolph.
Yeah, he's always on the chopping block from
the likeliest.
Yeah. I mean, you know, if we could actually save money on any of the ends, I would say, yeah, but I don't think any of their contracts.
They just signed Murphy. They just re-upped, obviously drafted Phillips and signed Starr and Eddie Yarbrough. Yeah. Re-upped to like.
No, if we had any benefit of.
Yeah, there's no.
Of releasing Lawson, I could see maybe a situation, but.
No,
I
you got him this year.
We make any money on him.
Yeah, you got him this year.
And I'm hoping that him playing, you know, he said at most 260 was what he's going to play at this year, which. I've never seen him play at 260, so it's going to be interesting. But
with your better D tackles, I just want him to rush the passer.
Yeah,
like he showed he could do a little run last year. He was actually okay at it at times.
It's good. He's I mean, at his best, he's a good player against the run. But he, you know, he was a high pick. He needs to get to the quarterback.
You know, obviously they're designated Tremaine Edmonds like as a Trey White style, which would be great.
I'm so excited about Edmonds.
Yeah, it was a good pick on draft night to kind of help ease the tension when you're drafting like the quote unquote quarterback of your defense, as well as a guy that I just thought the Bills had no shot at. I thought they had no shot at him. I thought he'd be gone before 12 personally. And when he was there, obviously the Bills were taking their quarterback. I just thought there was just nothing that crossed my mind. And then we jumped back on the board I said on a couple of shows last before the draft that watch out for the Bills to trade up if they designate a candidate. And they ended up doing so because Edmonds just inexplicably fell to a position where they felt like they were only giving up a third round pick.
I think he's going to make the teams that made picks with Vita Vea and Daron Payne ahead of him. I think they're going to be thinking like, maybe we should value like, you know, once in a lifetime athlete linebackers a little sooner. Because 19 years old, he's going to be running the defense. Everybody has positive, you know, players, coaches, whoever. Like, they're not just, you know, sucking up to Brandon Bean for making a good pick. They're saying this guy's really, really impressive.
It could be a 15-year line. I'm not saying he'll play 15 years with the Bills.
No, because
that's 15 years as a linebacker.
Yeah. No, he's an impressive physical guy. And if he can get his stuff straight as far as learning defense, shedding blocks, reading plays,
right.
You're going to really – I mean, he's going to show out because he's got the athleticism and the size to really do it. If he can take – if he can do anything in pass coverage, which I've seen him show the potential to do, he's going to be really, really special because if you can keep a guy with those physical attributes on three downs, then you're really set.
Yeah. And he's also not a 25-year-old defensive tackle like Nathan Shepard from Fort Hayes State, who I actually like.
I like him too.
That's at least a contract that you, a rookie contract you lose. It's like he's coming in on a second contract pretty much, Nathan Shepard. But
no, I mean, there's multiple. I mean, Calvin Ridley was 23. What is his name? The tight end that Baltimore took.
Hayden Hurst?
Hayden Hurst was 24 years old. He's got full contracts on those guys. It does make a difference. And if he's already at that level at his age, it just shows a certain amount of, I mean, mental maturity, and the fact that he could be that physically strong at that age is quite insane, and really shows the chance that he could develop into something really great.
Yeah, I mean, and then you have Starla Tulele come in and be really good. I mean, he looks phenomenal. I don't know what the PFF reviews were about. I don't know if he stopped caring. I don't know. Guy looks like a good football player.
They also like really. I feel like
they like.
Well, it's just they have a really, really tough time. I think more than any other position have tough time grading nose tackles, slash run stuffing, bigger defensive tackles. A lot of them are really low, and guys that do a good job and maybe don't get enough plus ones for them or whatever their system is, as far as just kind of having even plays and then once in a while having a negative play. I haven't quite figured it out, but there's a lot of players like him that don't rank nearly as high as the impact that they make. Not that Lotulelei was like a top five defensive tackle over the last few years, but it's a good starting player. And so, I mean, you should be able to see the difference in the defense. And a guy like that next to Kyle Williams and even next to Harrison Phillips, like if he can take on some blocks and really disrupt things, those guys are going to be able to penetrate and disrupt and make plays in a way that, you know, Williams has done his whole career and Phillips has done did in college.
Yeah, Phillips just going to translate. And then Trent Murphy, another had a really good year before getting hurt. So lots of good talent with Tremaine Edmonds there. You're putting Lorenzo into more of a reserve role, third linebacker now. Got a lot of depth there once again with, you know, I like Vallejo. I did like him in camp. I saw him in person. Ramon Humber surprised me as a third, fourth linebacker. Some good depth there. Matt Milano, I think, can take the step from third linebacker to be a second linebacker or, you know, weak side linebacker in on a lot of different schemes. He's shown he was really good. He was really good at football. I was shocked, Jason. I don't know where you were on him.
Yeah, I mean, I obviously didn't watch a lot of them at BC, maybe not obviously, but I don't get the Boston College, you know, bad Boston College teams all the time. But, you know, it seemed like a little bit of a project as a smaller guy who came from safety to linebacker, but he got bigger. But also, like, this is the league right now. Like, you have to be able to cover, you have to be able to move. A lot of aspects of this league are getting smaller and lighter and faster.
Yeah,
and, you know, it's not just like Mark Barron moving from – he's not even very good, but moving from safety to linebacker, you know. Half of the teams in the league have some version of that at this point between guys that straight up move to linebacker, guys that they would move around who are playing in the box all the time anyways at that size. So it's not a super surprise that a guy like Milano is that good. It's just I didn't know that he had that sort of talent level, and I think he's just going to continue to get better.
Yeah, and Woodson Luster is another name we've brought up a couple times on the show. Did grade well in his 44 snaps last year as a 70 and 70th overall and like PFF's 51st linebacker. So a name to watch out for. Vallejo, I thought, showed some good special teams ability and his limited snaps, and definitely in preseason he looked like he was going to be the Milano. Humber was like one of the best rated linebackers in the league, then got hurt and then kind of went back to like his Ramon Humber thing. And then, you know, Matt Milano finished 41st by PFF. So a guy that's like easily a linebacker too. So interested in that, especially with Edmonds coming in. But it's been an action packed show, Jason. Really good stuff here for OTAs and a lot of good nuggets. Anything else you can say from OTA? Anything else you took away that we weren't able to talk about?
No, not really. I mean, I think it's going to be interesting to keep watching Josh Allen's progression. I try not to take anything too serious from it. You know, he's a young quarterback, regardless of whether you think he's going to be good or not. I'm not really going to expect anything the whole year from or take too many, you know, jump to too many conclusions about him, because I think he needs time to develop. But in the meantime, like, I'm going to root for him. And I'm going to be interested in how he progresses. And I really do hope that he works as hard as people think he is going to.
Yeah, and I think step back removed. I think people can see the talent and can see like, hey, it's important to take a shot at this position, which we've never taken this high. Hopefully he does like this, the staff that like miraculously got us in the playoffs can show us enough to why they like this guy and, you know, picked him third, as the third quarterback over Rosen. Maybe even, you know, they say they had him even higher. So, we'll see whether that takes place, and we'll be covering mandatory camp here soon, which is in middle. I think June 9th is mandatory OTAs for everyone to go. I mean, everyone's there anyways, but there'll be more coverage around that. So it'll be, stay tuned with us over the next week or two. And we will have a lot of maybe even more information coming out of OTAs. Maybe the Bills do have an open spot for cutting wood. So maybe they'll go wide receiver, Jason. I don't know. We'll see what happens, but really appreciate you guys tuning into this great edition, tuning in OTAs, turning into the dead May zone. Really appreciate you just to tune into this network and check out all the other great shows as well. From Lockdown Bills, I'm Kevin Misery. That's Jason Shannon.
Thanks, guys.